to me. This is my group in advising.
Oh.
They were interested in coming to these meetings.
Right.
And I don't know why it came back, but nobody got the message.
Mm-hmm.
David's here at least. So.
Hmm.
And Jane.
Okay.
So you got a telepathy email.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I just talked to Usha last
night.
Oh, did you? Okay. She said you had left Ann Arbor.
Well, I am leaving Ann Arbor actually pretty soon.
When are you going?
This summer. So how's she doing?
She's doing well. She was on a sabbatical this past year. She's going back to teaching in August. Yeah. So like when are you leaving? Like August? She may come before August.
Yeah. Yes. I've got a business trip coming up a week after next. Teresa Walton.
Yeah.
And
you met her brother, right?
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's still around.
And,
he bought a house over there.
He did.
Yeah. So I'll got married too.
He got married.
Yeah, I got two kids. Yeah, two kids now.
Yeah.
And at the end of the
I guess he was a pretty young guy.
July,
yeah.
Yeah.
He was only like in his 20s when he first came.
Just starting as an engineer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's now family man.
Which is an aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to convince her to come. She said she will. She was in Japan. She presented a paper in Japan.
It's a real city.
And then she presented a paper to in Boston in an international conference.
You know, this little country town that had things happen to it, but this time
busy.
We're going to stay. You know,
she's got tenure now, too.
This,
you don't know. Remember her boyfriend? Peter.
Behind?
His last name.
Behind?
Oh, God.
Do you
know Pete? I think he's still there. Oh, are you still in the co-op? Oh.
I've been there for years.
That's
kind of
really?
That's how he was there from 80...
He's like
85. Oh my lord.
No, I take it back. 86. I think 86 is 85.
Oh.
He's been there.
He's still there, I think. Because when she comes.
I don't understand it.
Because when she comes, they see each other. But I think he's still there, as far as I know.
That is amazing that he still lives there.
Exactly. I know, don't you think he would outgrow, you know, but he must live.
He must be like in his 40s now.
Yeah, probably. No.
He has a good job, isn't he?
Yeah, for the car company. I think he's in his late 30s.
And his
He's still there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to tell Usha.
What is Usha going?
You think they had, she was, he was her ex-boy. Where, yeah. Boyfriend, he was her boyfriend. I think no more, right? No
last
longer.
I talked to her, which was a while ago.
Uh-huh. They weren't any.
So.
Yeah, yeah. They're just friends. So when she comes here, they sort of get together. Mm-hmm.
I just can't believe he's still there.
Yeah.
But he was really getting into Scientology.
Yes, exactly. He is.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
He gets those
right.
Mails. At
right.
I see them every now and then. They come to the wrong door. We have a mutual friend.
Isn't that amazing? Usha lived there too. Did you know her from there?
No,
I didn't live there until 94.
Oh, okay. She was there in the 80s with Jane, right, Jane? Oh, was it 80s? Yes, right? Yeah, because Usha graduated in 89, right? Yeah, and Sunny lived there too, right? Sunny Young?
Yeah,
Sunny
lived there.
Yeah.
And she's in Santa Barbara.
Sunny? No. She's
Bernard.
Bernardino.
Bernardino.
Because I saw her actually more or less recently.
In a conference. Sunny?
Oh, she was here.
She's a friend of another friend of ours.
Oh,
really?
Oh,
so we
came
to see him,
I
and then I see her.
Oh.
She has gone.
This is a dangerous position.
Oh,
that's
a
huge
old
fire.
Louise,
how
are
you?
It is really
good.
Carol, you might have
a lot of traffic over there.
Well, we've had a lot of traffic in the last couple of weeks because all the students in May and getting signatures and graduating and all that. So,
somebody else and I
have advice. But, it's, I don't know, just in well, I think that we're spread out.
Over to the office and have a couple of people up in the North Campus office. The staff is really stretched. 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 The staff is really stret
What's your favorite?
Are you as busy as ever?
French.
French.
Can I ask if you knew Jonathan Majors?
Yes, I did.
As I said, Jim was kind of someone.
I'm just talking.
He may have been caught by someone that was kind of lined up outside his office.
He was denied tenure.
I guess we better start now. There might be a few more people straggling in. This session of the FI meeting will be recorded by the My Case Project, which is explained in this handout. So if you have not signed a consent form, please do so now. And Rita Simpson is our project manager. And
how many people were here at the last meeting?
Previous meeting?
Last month's meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but a fair number of you weren't here and didn't know. Did you see the email?
Yeah.
And
I think
everybody
had
to read that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the consent form, none of this is, you know, eternally binding. It turns out that at the end of the meeting, you know, you've touched on some topic that you think should be so confidential or that you're embarrassed about. We can erase parts of it. We can destroy all of it. So you can do the consent form afterwards if you haven't already done it. And everyone got one, though, right? So my name is Rita Simpson, and I'm here on behalf of the My Case Project, currently underway here at the ELI. My Case stands for Michigan Corpus of Academic Spoken English, where a corpus is simply a collection of words. And as an initial goal, we hope to build the corpus to a size of about 1 to 1.5 million words. Eventually, we hope that the collection of linguistic data available in My Case will help us to observe patterns of language, which will aid us in developing better tools for the teaching of English as a second language. In keeping with these goals, we're interested in patterns which are observable across the speech of different groups of people. We're not at all interested in any one individual's speech. We're not interested in correct or proper speech, but rather in natural speech as it is really spoken here at the university. Our presence here is in no way a method of evaluation of this group or your interactional styles. My Case has been approved by the Institutional Review Board, and we've received the consent of Louise Baldwin beforehand and the people at the previous meeting to audiotape this class or this meeting. Names and other identifying information will not be used, and in fact,
any names that, if any identifying information is talked about at this meeting, we will, at our discretion, change those names and, if necessary, give the tape or the transcript back to someone, either Louise or Gemma or Mary, who were here at the meeting to decide what should be changed to protect everyone's confidentiality. If anyone objects, this is your chance to say so at this point, and we can turn our recorders off and leave. Okay, so by your silence, I'm assuming your consent, and by these forms.
We're all afraid to say something.
That would be the most silent meeting that FIE has ever seen.
Should any of you decide after the meeting is over to withdraw your consent, please do not hesitate to let me know afterwards, either by email or through anyone else whose information you have. Are there any questions about any of this information? After the end of the meeting, we'll also need to collect very brief speaker information forms that include your native language, gender, age group, and position at the university. So if you could keep that in mind, it takes about half a minute to fill out. And there you go. Okay. I guess we can start by introducing ourselves. I'm Mary Spahn, and I work in the testing division here at the English Language Institute. And I will pass around a list of names. So, here we go.
Let's just go around and let everybody introduce themselves before we start.
There might be something
saying
we don't
what
know.
We're
yeah.
talking about.
Okay.
Roberta Harrison-Lowe, Biology Office, Graduate Program Coordinator.
Louise Baldwin, International Center.
David Smith, Academic Advisor, LSA Academic Advisor.
Jordan Pollack, Office of International Programs.
Cindy Barheit, LSNA Academic Advising.
Jane Chung-Appley, LSNA Academic Advising.
And Preston Center for International Business Education, or to shorten CIBE in the business school.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn Shackley, Housing. Gemma Long, ELI.
I guess usually what we do at these meetings is just sort of go around and talk about what we've been doing. I have a notice here that you may have already seen, and I'll pass around. Our MELAB testing program is undergoing some changes. First of all, I should tell you what is not changing. We will continue to administer individual and group MELABs in the United States and Canada. However, after June 30th, we will not have any MELABs administered overseas. There is one exception which might not affect people here at the University of Michigan very much, and that's Iran. We have been testing in Iran, and actually most of those students end up going to Canadian universities. The reason for this was that it was becoming more and more cost ineffective to have these make complicated arrangements for individual tests overseas, and it just wasn't worth the time we were putting into it. And The other thing is the TOEFL test, as you may know, has changed to a computer-delivered test in most places. In, I think, with the exception of some Asian countries, the Far East, the TOEFL will be given via computer-delivered tests, and people can take those TOEFL tests pretty much on demand. They don't have to, the tests are not given like every 6 weeks. I think initially they're having a few problems with a waiting list of people signing up to take the test, but that probably should eventually, that log jam should eventually break down. So that's about all I have to say.
Do we go this way or that way?
I have a question for somebody from ELI, actually, about the IGSI participants in the August workshop. Do you facilitate the students finding housing for that during the course, the three-year course, or are they expected to arrive
on
a few days early, find their own housing?
Right.
And okay.
Now, the early arrival housing will be open during the whole period of course, right, Caroline?
In the month of August?
It's, yeah. Starts July 30th. Goes
okay.
to August 27th, so it's not the full month of August.
Okay.
If anyone needs a flyer, I have it right
okay.
here.
Okay. Oh, I think I would need that.
It goes until what time, Caroline?
August 27th.
August 27th.
Noon.
How long does the IGSI workshop be over there? Monday, Monday?
The August workshop is for 3 weeks.
Okay.
So it would be like the first week of August to like the third week of August.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute. Isn't it
the 3rd to the 21st? Or
right,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. So do most of these ICSIs, Gemma, then come to the in?
No,
Betsy
they're
Barber,
sort of like, these people have been
find
here.
Apartments
yeah,
or?
They find it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been here like a year, so they're, a lot of them are coming from other universities. So. They've been here for at least a year, so they're not like. I mean, some are coming from, you know.
I thought the August workshop people were not.
No, but some
coming
of them
from within the U.S. I thought they
some
were
of them,
early.
Some of them,
yeah.
Not all.
But some of them are going to be brand new,
right? Right. Some are brand
yeah.
new, but we don't do any unless CRLT, but ELI does not, as far as I know.
No, I don't think so. I mean, some of them come to the International Summer
right.
Course, too, but...
Okay.
But
she was saying in terms of housing, we don't...
Right. No, I don't think it's facilitated, but I mean, I think housing always makes sure that early arrival housing is open early enough so
right.
that they can stay there
mm-hmm.
if they want
right.
to.
And I have had a couple inquiries from people
mm-hmm.
like that
yeah.
that are going to move in
right.
really early.
I'm going to forward this to the coordinator of the ICSI program, Debbie Barks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And... Brenda Imber, who is the coordinator,
mm-hmm.
overall coordinator
mm-hmm.
of the ICSI workshop.
Yeah.
But Debbie Barks is the one who coordinated this summer. So I'll
have they sent out their information packets?
Yes.
They
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite early, I think.
Because they just
no,
requested
I don't know if
us.
They have sent this. I don't
well,
know.
They just requested that we have by May 8th turned
mm-hmm.
in the names and addresses. And it's only May 6th today, so I'm thinking they may not have sent the information packages yet.
Oh, that I don't know.
In which case, you could slip these in to the mail.
I'll ask Brenda.
Well, we sent these flyers out to many departments that do have
mm-hmm.
early graduate students
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
early students coming
right.
so that they could send this to them.
Yeah. Right. This is good information.
This booklet is new. It's the undergraduate residence hall booklet. The other one has been passed out. It's for graduate housing. We have passed that a couple times. So, and then there's the rate sheet for this.
I don't really have much to tell except that I've already distributed, I think, last month the ELI summer programs.
Okay.
So, you know, we are slowly admitting students.
Mm-hmm.
And as usual, we have the three programs, English for Business, English for Academic Purposes, and English for Legal Studies, starting June 30th. and ending August 14th. So if any of you have not received the brochures, I can get some. But I think that's it.
I think most of you know Jim Montgomery, who's also from the International Student.
Okay.
He's one of our foreign student advisors. And because we're a little bit short of advisors today, he's probably going to just stay for part of the meeting.
All right.
So if we could just jump in. If anybody had any particular immigration-related questions, issues, okay. Cindy, I can depend on you. Ask now, or if you ask me, I'm just going to make it up as I go along. So
all right.
If you want actual reliable information, go ahead.
First of all, the burning question. Has INS come out yet with any statement about students from the five countries in crisis? Nothing has come yet. Okay. And still, there is no other word about what the university is going to be doing to help
not
them
out.
Not okay.
Well, that's not exactly an immigration question, but you can ask it anyway. Jump in quickly. My understanding is that it's still being discussed. There are some possible scholarships which would require the university to match funds.
Right.
I think that's tied up with the Office of the General Counsel over the whole issue of preferential dealings with for students from particular countries or ethnicities. And I think, I haven't heard anything beyond
okay,
that.
Okay, so it's stuck there probably for a while.
Probably until the affirmative action case is
right.
So.
Okay. But another more direct immigration issue. For students who are here now they're doing half term work.
Right.
If they've done
in the spring,
right. And they've done a fall term, is the combination of a full time winter and full time spring half, is that enough for the okay for them to come back in with the I-20, is that
okay? When you say okay for them to come
will
back in,
will it be signed
with,
if they go out?
With yeah, okay. Let me just make a comment. Normally, F-1 students are expected to attend school full time for the equivalent of an academic year, in order to be eligible to take a vacation term.
Right.
However, spring summer is an exception. If a student came in to start the program in January and they attended full time in the winter term, they would still be eligible to take off the spring summer if they wanted to have their spring summer vacation time be the traditional time. But if such a student who came in the winter also attended school full time during the entire spring summer.
Entire spring summer. Okay.
Then they would qualify to take off the fall term.
Okay.
Oh,
if
see.
They wanted
okay.
to.
Right.
Okay. Or
yeah.
if they came in the summer and attended full time during the entire spring summer and then attended in
the fall, they could then take off
the winter term.
Okay. But if she has done just a winter term,
she's fine.
She'll be fine.
We would sign the
okay.
I-20 and
right.
she could
That's
go home
fine.
And
That's
come back.
That's what I wasn't
no.
quite sure.
No,
when
no
I did
problem.
I tried calling you last week and I know you were swamped, so I held my question. Hoping that I'd get an answer here, but that's great. Okay.
For F-1 questions, it's still Jim, and who's the other one? Rachel?
Well, actually, we're all...
You're all handling...
They're at the... out on the North Campus, there are two people. Only one can sign I-20s, but that's Kay Clifford and Samira Pardonani. Samira signs the I-20s and Kay signs the IEP-66s. Now, on the Central Campus, we've got three people advising I'm still there, and Kate Zhang is signing I-20s, and Rachel Persico is signing IEP-66s. But we all talk to everybody. So they're actually
so
a variety.
We can ask.
Right.
Are there any restrictions or anything of that sort for internationals looking to do an internship?
Oh, yeah. Lots. But there are lots of possibilities, too. There are a variety of ways to get permission to be employed. It's different for the F-1 student compared to the J-1 student. Basically, there are two ways. If an F-1 student has an offer of a specific internship, and if they can document, and we usually use a letter from their academic advisor or one of their professors, if they can document that this internship constitutes an integral part of their established program, if it's closely related to their research, then we can give them the permission on the spot to take the job. That's the fastest way to do it, if they have a specific internship lined up in advance. If they don't have something specific lined up in advance, or if they can't show somehow that it's an integral part of their curriculum, they can still apply for a carte blanche permit to go out and work anywhere they want in their field without having a specific job lined up in advance. But in order to get that kind of permit, they have to send an application and pay a small fee to the immigration office. And it takes a month or 6 weeks to get the permit. These two programs are referred to as practical training programs, and the one that has to be based on a specific internship is called curricular practical training, and the one that's just carte blanche is called optional practical training. But we're constantly involved in, so we have workshops throughout the semester, and we have handouts that we use to. Most of the students are generally aware of it.
Do they have to be enrolled at the time that they take the internship?
I'm sorry?
Do they have to be enrolled at the time that they're doing?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Do they still have two types of internships, where there's the kind of pre-bachelor's degree, and then there's the practical training, which is they're eligible for after receiving their degree?
The first kind of internship that's based on a specific job related to the field, the one that's called curricular practical training, can only be given prior to graduation. Okay? And it can be given on a part-time basis or a full-time basis. If it's given on a part-time basis during the academic year, then the student must continue to be registered as a full-time student. Okay. If it's given on a full-time basis during the academic year, then the student doesn't have to be registered at all while they are doing the job full-time. If it's given for during the vacation term, then the student doesn't need to be registered anyway, but they can be if they wish. The other program, called the optional practical training, I should say the first one, the curricular practical training, is unlimited. There's no time limit on how many months a person could actually do this. Theoretically, over a 5-year period or a 6-year period, a person might spend 2-3 years at different times doing curricular practical training. However, the other practical training program, the optional practical training program, is restricted to a total of 12 months. You can borrow part of this before you graduate, or you can save up and wait and use it all after you graduate. However, if a student participates in 12 months or more of the curricular practical training, if they participate on a full-time basis, then after they graduate, they forfeit using the optional practical training. However, if they sign up for curricular practical training on a part-time basis before they graduate, then they don't lose anything, no matter how long they worked on a part-time basis. Now, a person who wants to get optional practical training has a choice of borrowing before they graduate. And you can borrow on either a part-time basis or a full-time basis. If you borrow on a part-time basis before you graduate, then you lose 1 month of your post-completion practical training for every 2 months that you worked prior to completion on a part-time basis. If you borrow on a full-time basis before you graduate, then for every month that you work before you graduate, 1 month would be deducted from the 12-month total after you graduate. So, you know, that I probably spent too much time on that. Usually.
We've got your name and number. Can we deal with it on a case by case?
You know, keeping track of it.
Seems everything can be an exception.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's so nice, though, to hear it spelled out so
it is.
Clearly and unambiguously.
But it'll change. So
even if it does change, is there any other domain of immigration and naturalization business that's so clear cut? And do we know whether it is or not?
No, it's nice to know that there's someone who knows all this information. It's amazing.
And we do. We give all through the academic year, we give workshops during the winter term. We give them like every week or every other week so that students can come and hear all this at even greater length. So that's you know, that's probably what you should refer students to also if they just want to get an overview of what's going on. Anything else in the immigration domain?
Not right now. Maybe in June.
Be tax time again.
We just barely made it through tax season this year, but you made it through.
Is this an extra one of these?
No, it's yours.
Okay. And now, I guess we could continue. I don't know what direction we're going in. Well, actually, should
I'm going to go back. I
okay.
have
yeah.
some
people
waiting
people.
For practical training.
All right. Okay.
Oh,
thanks a lot for
okay.
coming.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
good
you.
To see you.
Okay, well, you want to go over and get, Carolyn, do you want to do housing plan?
Okay. Well, I just passed out the booklets that you might be interested in. I just want to update you on reapplication in the residence halls. You probably heard we were having a crunch, and that crunch didn't turn out to be such a crunch. We had less returning students sign leases for next year. So that makes more spaces for new students. Hooray, hooray. And also, this is the first year that students can fax back their leases as well as their applications, and we don't want to see the original. It just gets too complicated. And I'll entertain any questions.
So can they apply too by fax?
Well, we're not online, so we do have to mail the information.
Oh, so the application form.
Once they receive it, then it backs back.
Okay. But applications. Do you think that will come? That time will come when the applications will be online?
We're working on it.
Yeah, because like for summer students, they're very, very anxious.
Sure.
Are there availabilities in most buildings now?
Yes, there will be. Of course, there were, certain halls that are reapplied for rather heavily, which has been the custom for several years. Mosier, Jordan, and West Quad, and South Fairmount. And we're also, by the way, we're placing transfer sophomore students. They're kind of like guaranteed housing if they get their application in by a certain date, which was the drawing, March 16th, April 16th or something, which we've never done before. We've had to turn sophomores away, and so many people complain because they're like still freshmen. And so we are housing them this year too, and they'll probably mostly be placed in those halls where there are still spaces, and the re-app was high.
I have a couple of questions. What is happening as far as short-term housing, both this summer and then in the fall?
Yes,
is any Bates going to go back to that?
No.
No, okay.
Bates will not. We do have a freshman hall at Bates, only one instead of two, as we told you earlier.
Right.
We don't have any short-term housing. Summer, yes, called Conference Services.
So it's basically like Oxford and that?
Well, it's also, I think they have spaces in a residence hall for the summer. Like last year they had Bursley, I think they do this year. By the way, spring summer this year for students is at House Lloyd, because there's too much noise down at Markland.
Right. Yeah, because of the construction. Do you foresee any crunch in the summer housing?
No, not really.
Not it's in the past. There's never been a problem,
right? Because there's so many sublets out there that are really cheap for off-campus housing.
Who's doing the mediation services?
Oh,
no.
One time I'll bring her along
sometime,
and her name is Amy Starr.
She has had
this is mediation and also off-campus housing advisor. She's new. Jeff went to another area in our office, which is our computers and online things. So Amy just started, but she doesn't have to learn a whole lot because she had years and years of mediation. Oh, I don't want her to sound old, but she's not. She even taught mediation in California to groups, she should be fabulous.
That sounds wonderful.
What did you say her last name is?
Star.
Wow. Just like?
Starr. I have a question, though. Is it possible, let's say for our students that have been admitted to our summer program, is it possible that you mail them leases, applications? Or
yes, if they're online, are they? Oh, we don't put them online, do we?
Yeah.
You can send that stuff to me,
and
we'll send it out. But there are students that are intending to be here in the fall, is that correct?
Some of them are.
Oh, well, then
this is just for the summer.
Okay.
No.
I think what we need to do is just ask them to come into the office.
Yeah, that's
what
I've been doing.
Because
some
we
of
won't
them,
have an ID number either.
Until that
anyone can put them online. Yeah.
No, most of them have IDs, right? Because the Rackham students, the IDs are already in their letters. And for undergraduate admissions, their IDs are already.
Will they be online?
That I don't know.
SCDB?
Yeah. Most likely, though.
Well, if that's the case, we'll automatically send them out.
Okay. So I don't even need to send you.
Not really. Send me faculty members and staff members and people that aren't caught by SCDB.
Will you accept the fax leases from overseas exchange students?
Sure.
That's okay.
So when do you think will these application forms be online? Are you working towards that?
Oh yeah, not this year.
That would really help.
Yeah, I think Rackham has their application online. Who else does?
Undergraduate admissions.
They might do.
I think so.
Yeah.
So.
I think we're ahead of that way. Everybody is.
But you've got all your off-campus housing listings on the web, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not all. Really, what is out there is off-campus housing that's available through independent landlords. We do not have the management company listings on the web.
Okay.
And they're still on flyers in our office.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the majority
mm-hmm.
of off-campus housing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
But you do have the management.
Absolutely, it's there. And yes, we have a flyer that we send out with our off-campus packets telling all the management companies, names, phone numbers, da da da. Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
I just like a few things about the center, and we've just gotten through with our internship funding, and we see an interesting trend in that I think in the business school there are fewer and fewer people applying for international internship funding, which is interesting. So we've been funding a lot of students from the School of Natural Resources.
Interesting.
Yeah. And they're working on these fascinating projects, and most of them are in Eastern Europe, and they're working on pollution and ways to deal with it, and so some of their internships sound really fascinating. We've also funded a number of people from the law school, a number of undergraduates, a lot of them from the German department. There's a woman there who's been really active in finding internships for their students there. So it depends, you know, if there's a good contact in any given department trying to find internships, we find that we get a lot applicants. And also we funded a number of students who've applied both to the International Institute and also applied to our center for funding. The other thing we're offering right now is funding to attend summer language programs. And a lot of them is for the joint MBA and area studies students. But we'll consider anybody, for instance, in the MBA program who would be taking a language at the expense of a very, the opportunity cost is an internship paying a lot of money. So we consider students who, prefer a language over their internship. So we will consider funding to study a language. Currently, we have a study tour going on to Japan, Singapore, and there are 18 people on that trip, a combination of PhD students, faculty, and MBAs.
Cool. Will you have any groups coming to the University of Michigan in the fall?
Yes, as a matter of good question. we're having the third iteration of the Hong Kong program for the civil servants from the Hong Kong government.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that your question probably is related to housing, and they'll still be at Oxford.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
And that works out really well, I think, for the Oxford people.
And for everybody.
Yeah.
It's for everybody.
And they've often thought, well, this is an interesting thing. They feel that the people who come to this program, although they like Oxford, they feel that they're really not integrated into campus life.
Mm-hmm.
But they're only here for 4 months.
How
integrated
are they going
to
get?
How integrated can they get?
Mm-hmm.
We try to offer, give them all the programs that in which they can integrate themselves, attending seminars and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't take advantage of it. I think it's a moot issue when they complain about being off-site at Oxford, because they really are not
making
any effort.
How many of them are there?
It varies between 16 and 20. I think we'll have 20 this year.
So they're here for 4 months. From what countries are they?
They're all from Hong Kong. They're
all
civil servants from the Hong Kong government.
Because there is, I don't know, I mean, sound like an advertising, but there is there is an apartment building, Ecumenical Campus Center. We're in, I've stayed there as a student,
mm-hmm.
and our visiting scholars stay there for a period of 2 to 4 months.
Right.
They always have available space, you know. And it's a very good community because there's an exchange of culture, because they have programs, you know. It's really international. They have students from all over the world. And I think they have like 2 buildings, so they may be able to...
I'm aware of those buildings.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's really a lot of... visiting scholars and students have really enjoyed that program. So they are really, you know, immersed into the campus. They're just there on Church Street. It's right behind the business school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've stayed there, so one time we had like people from 40 countries.
No, I'm
glad. Yeah. Well, my husband is also
good.
My husband's from Hong Kong,
yeah.
And so he also stayed there.
Yeah.
Okay.
They
usually fall for fall term though, so that's something you might.
Well, you know, you could really try.
I mean, if you want to follow up on something, that you probably need
right.
to
yeah.
check
yeah.
fairly early.
Right. I know the director
people.
There.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Which
yeah. Her name is Shirley Lewis, but this I think is her last year.
Yeah,
she was there when I was a student.
Yeah.
She was already associate director, and just like Jim was already there when I was a student. And how old I am.
How many students can they house?
662-5529, I think. It's Ecumenical Campus Center.
Yeah.
But again, they have to remember that this is shared apartments.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like having their own bathroom
mm-hmm.
and stuff. But I think the important thing there is that they are on campus, and there is an exchange of different cultures. And they also have different programs going on. They take field trips. They're brought to, you know, like shopping. They're taken to the grocery. They organize activities for them. They even have trips like to Washington, D.C., and
yeah.
stuff like that. So, going shopping to Birch Run.
Sounds like this
yeah.
Well,
exactly.
The
yes.
popular,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, as a matter of fact, the first question they ask once they get here is, how can we get to Birch Run?
Oh, see.
It's
world
famous.
No, I could sell, you know, tickets on the over and over again on that van.
That's amazing.
Birch Run pass.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they all have to be together, let's say the 16 or 20 people?
Not necessarily.
So see, some of them could be there, and maybe some of them could
mm-hmm.
be there. It's really, you know, I recommend it. And our, you know, what's his name, Hamilton, the Brazilian, who just stayed there recently. Yeah, he was there for 2 months. He really only had nothing but good things to say about it.
So
everybody
right. Well, I was there, too, for almost 2 years, so I can attest for that.
Even for short term, it would be good.
Yeah, sometimes
oh, yeah.
they really do have available, so you need to talk to Shirley.
Because I have someone coming in for a month in September.
Yeah,
month
that's
in September.
Well,
yeah.
Again,
oh,
they're
yeah.
probably not for a month.
Yeah.
They're not going to want to do it
right.
because
right.
they like to rent for at least a term and actually preferably the whole academic year for
right.
the same reasons everybody else wants to do
it. If it
so.
Were for the summer.
In the winter sometimes, because sometimes
yeah,
the scholar's
right.
just there for the fall
yeah,
stay.
Right,
in the
right.
winter, they might cut a deal
yeah.
with you or the summer.
Yeah.
Fall is hard there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, that's
everywhere.
Why I come to these meetings. I find out every time I come. That's really
well, you know, I always used to think that way. And then just one time I just gave it a try. And, like, this person
right.
was
yeah.
there. He came, like, in March.
Mm-hmm.
No, February. So he stayed there from February on to.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, especially in winter term. I think it's fall that's the tightest.
Oh, yeah.
But it's always worth trying.
Yeah.
Shirley's very nice. So she'll,
yeah.
you know, she'll let you know what's available.
And how many spaces are there?
I really don't know, but there's like 2 buildings. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure if there is shared housing. So, and the people were international. Like with Hamilton, he had a Portuguese roommate and he had a Turkish roommate. And what we do too is I kind of described to her to how old these people were gonna be, and you know, then she kind of matches them up. Not mixing an 18-year-old.
Are they mostly graduate students?
Yeah,
or
graduate students.
Mm-hmm.
And scholars.
Yeah, and scholars, visiting scholars.
Could you just repeat your institution and your name?
It's Anna Preston, and I'm with the Center for International Business Education in the Business School.
Thank you.
Are you with Natalie? Is not in the same office.
No, Natalie is in admissions, and so is Ellen Schaefer.
They're usually here.
Yeah, the email based to say that they were kind of swamped.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Seems we all are.
Yes.
Do you want to say anything?
Oh, Jane. Oh, yes, Jane, you can talk about the co-ops.
Yeah, right.
Jane, you can talk about the co-ops.
Much to my dismay, Jane is leaving us, which is why she's going to remain silent at this moment. Her husband got a job in Texas, and so they're off to Texas in a few months, but she'll be leaving advising in the next couple of weeks, so makes me very sad. And she's getting out just at the right time because we are starting on to summer orientation. And that's at the beginning of the summer, we have less to do with international students because they do tend to come in for either the summer term or the fall. And so our big thing is going to be the week of the end of August. But we do get a handful in periodically, and sometimes we even have interesting situations where they're here for ELI courses and they're also supposed to be taking LSNA courses or something else. So we talk with ELI about that. But really, there's not a whole lot. We've been waiting to hear about the financial situation for some of these students from the five countries that have been hit financially. And as Louise has said, it's there somewhere, this decision, but or the decision may not even be there. The issue is stuck somewhere. So I thought that there was a May 11th deadline. Do you know about that?
For those,
it's a matching thing.
Yeah.
But
I believe there is now. I don't know how much flexibility there would be with that. But I just. I asked about that at the beginning of this week, and that's what I was told, that legal counsel was still not willing
and
to.
And I can imagine that, because it's quite an interesting issue when you look at what, I don't know how many of you have seen the details of this, but NAFSA put out the guidelines for this matching funding, and they were very clear about, it was the... What was the business council? Which business council?
IEE
business council and NAFSA pointed on this, and they very clearly said these students are eligible for this. So we have a real problem. People studying poli sci or econ are eliminated from it. It's computer science, engineering, business, and hard sciences. Well, you know, that just doesn't.
Yeah.
Cut it for LSNA anyway, and I think, and then of course there's the issue of how many graduate students there are and undergraduates, and the whole pot needs to be looked at, and it was very hard to coordinate and get all this information gathered so that they could figure out how they're going to allocate funds.
And the other thing is that it's not a huge amount of money, although of course every bit helps,
right.
And it's a limited number of grants that each school could
get. Right.
So, but as I, but I mean, there's the field of study thing, but I guess the main thing is just that it's only for students from those countries, and if they use university funds to match it, as opposed to some of the endowed scholarships, some there's that one for Swiss students and Guatemalan students.
Right.
So. That's
Well, we get inquiries, regular inquiries from students about this.
Oh,
this kind of thing. Yeah, I know you don't. One thing that we did do for some of our students was we were able to let them go ahead and pre-register for fall, even spring and summer, even if they had a financial hold.
And they must pay up though by August. So, but some of them may then be able to squeak in another term or two if they're really not going to be able to afford to come back in the fall, at least they can. And the one group that's been very vocal is the Indonesian group. They've really rallied and have been canvassing for funds. And, but it's all up in the air at the moment. So besides that, we're also waiting to find out whether we get bounced out of Angel Hall or not.
Oh, really?
There's been talk about Bollinger.
Oh,
if
Bollinger moves in. Oh, right.
Not a whole lot.
I mean, he'll be transferring from Fleming Building to.
Yeah.
Well, he wants to be, or has said that he wants to be somewhere more towards the heart of campus.
Yeah.
Right.
Or access.
So that is a nice building, so that was important for him to be building out more appealing.
So then you'd probably move to the Fleming Building.
Yeah. You're nice and accessible. All
right.
Those are the hot items that are going on now.
I have a question. How is that issue related to the affirmative action? You know,
the reason that I made that comment was that and this is just my assumption, I'm assuming that the Office of the General Counsel may be being especially careful about anything to do with preferences to a particular group because of the pending lawsuit, that's kind of brought all of that into focus.
Well, you're just guessing that there's a connection. We weren't told that specifically.
Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Yeah, I didn't mean to give that impression. No, I was just.
For the record.
Yes, for the record. This was just in my head. Yes. But no, I mean, I'm assuming that then they're kind of looking twice at anything that could be interpreted as a preference.
With this funding for internships, it's something that, is it available at all to undergraduates?
We have funded some undergraduates, but mostly we have to fund graduate students. Mostly. And it has to be a business internship. But if the application is good, and you know, we will consider every application.
Actually, I had a student who did receive.
But it has to be a
business
relationship, and you actually have to submit the letter from the future employer along with that. So we look at every application we receive.
Well, one other thing that I just wanted to quickly mention is that we will continue to try to get particularly the Korean group together in the fall, the undergraduate students who seem to have a lot of trouble getting through their first couple of years of undergraduate college. And so I will keep you posted, but I would also ask for some help probably in the fall. The undergraduate association of Korean students wants to do a series of programs early in the fall. I haven't even had a chance to talk to you about this because it just came through. It would be very helpful to get some of you involved in some of these presentations to help them understand what the resources are around campus. And I just thought I'd mention that because we've talked about the Korean student issue many times before.
Well, I think that's nice that the Student Association is getting involved and doing that, and whatever we can do to support them, I think would be good.
And the reason this is happening, it just so happened that I saw the newly elected vice president, who happens to be the roommate of the fellow who committed suicide in December, and he will finally, I think, do something to pull this group together. Whereas in the past, we've not gotten any response from that group's leaders. So I think that there's much more potential this time around.
fall with the suicide, I think, and as well the numbers of trans students who were asked not to register again were stopped after fall term because of very poor academic performance. There's motivation to actually do some of these programs in the fall, so I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yeah, and I know that the counseling and psychological services is interested in reaching out more to the international student community and, you know, making students more aware of what those services are, and that might be something that could be funded.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I wanted to ask this before. Is there anybody from that group who gets these FIE announcements?
There is not at this point. What the reason that kind of came right to my mind is I've just they're interviewing now for a couple of new staff members, and they've asked people from the International Center and then also from CPAC and Services for Students with Disabilities to spend about an hour talking with each of the candidates, and which is great.
This is a first.
Yeah, this is the first. So, in fact, I've just come from asking the person that was in the hot seat today what suggestions she would have for doing more outreach, and so that's kind of in the front of my mind. But
right.
But I think that once that person is hired, I think that I'll ask them if they'd like to come to these meetings.
Yeah, that would be great.
My turn. I don't really have anything momentous to share, in part because I didn't really have any time to prepare, and that was because I had jury duty this week.
No.
I'm sure I could get here today. But a funny thing happened.
But it was the rush to justice after all, huh?
Well, it was a deferral of justice.
Oh, okay.
It selected the jury, and the judge had called all but he forgot to turn the mic off. So he had to declare a mistrial.
Next time.
But after a rather hectic last couple of months, things were finally quieting down at the International Programs Office. One thing about working with students is that they mostly clear out by that last day of exams. And we can now catch up
on them. Not the ones that are in our hall.
At least the ones that we deal with. But many of them, of course, leave before they've come to see you and pick up their orientation materials. So we'll be playing a game of chase with quite a few of them to make sure that they get their payment schedules and other things. But things are a little quieter. Just a couple of things. We've had a change in grading policy that might be of some interest. Historically, most grades that students earn overseas come through and are posted to their academic record, and the grades are calculated into their grade point averages. But the new rule is that the students who directly enroll in exchange partner universities will not have their grades figured into their grade point averages. And that's a decision made by the curriculum committee in response to the issue of grade equivalency. Some places, of course, there's different grading systems, and some will grade according to different standards. So it's just real messy. One nice bit of news: we've had a very successful year with a scholarship that students apply for called the NSEP, the National Security Education Program Scholarship, which provides up to $8,000 a semester in support of study abroad for a student. We had 14 applicants, which is very high in comparison to other universities with same deal. And of the 14, we have 7 official winners of the scholarship, with another 4 sitting very high on their respective wait lists. So we potentially have 11 out of 14 recipients. And this is a really remarkable performance. So we're real pleased with that.
That's great, because those are fairly competitive.
They're very competitive. And, the amount of money is sizable. It makes a difference.
Why is this called National Security
Education
is it
Program?
It's a CIA or something like that.
Yeah, the name sort
there's
of,
a little word
when
that it does.
Yeah.
It's
a controversial scholarship, but I think decreasingly so, because over time the kinds of problems that people feared might happen have not happened. It's money that originates with the Department of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
And the money supports students who want to study in countries where the U.S. government feels we are lacking expertise in front of the area. And it also particularly it targets the study of languages which are not commonly studied in American universities, were not commonly taught. So students want to go to Russia or China,
right.
or various countries in South America and Africa are eligible and tend to win awards. One of the problems with the whole scholarship program is that it might compromise the student and students in the field if somebody finds out that the student has Department of Defense support. The student might be perceived as an agent of the government. The argument itself is very problematic. There are some universities which have refused to participate in the scholarship program. Michigan takes a very neutral stance against public asking for development. There has not been a single incident that I'm aware of, which a student got some kind of trouble, was mistreated because of NCD support. In this past year, however, there's been a slight change in the scholarship arrangements. And this almost actually was the killed the scholarship program because Congress opposed it, and it was very distasteful to a lot of people who had thrown away the NCP. There is a service obligation
that
a recipient has to meet after graduation and within an 8-year period following graduation for a length of time equivalent to the time supported while on study abroad.
They have to serve, you said?
Yeah, it has to be an internship within a government office.
Oh, okay. Do they choose?
That
or
has some linkage to national security. But it's very broadly defined. Students, this is the first year that students will have to fulfill this particular requirement. So it's an arrangement in process, and we don't know how smoothly it will go. It scared away, I think, a small number of students. But I think it's attracted an even greater number of students who see the service as a kind of as a foot in the door for.
Yeah, well, I can see if someone's interested in diplomatic service or anything.
Oh,
like
that would be.
Right.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Where are the countries that seven are going to?
Russia, Brazil, Argentina, South Africa,
China.
Nobody from China this year. We have one in China. Next year. We have a couple of students going to Hungary, somebody to the Czech Republic. I think that probably counts.
And how much is the, what amount is this?
Up to $8,000 semester. So.
And how long do they go to, let's say, if they are in Russia, how long do they spend the time in Russia?
The program is more likely to award you money if you're proposing to study a year, an academic year.
Yeah.
It's no longer than a calendar year.
Mm.
The awardees are mostly academic year. There are a few who got awards for a semester. And only freshmen and sophomore applicants are ever awarded summer study abroad support. If you're an upper-class person, they want you going for a longer period of time because they want it to pay off. Students have to take a language level exam before they go, and then they have to take an exam once they've finished stay abroad. It won't go into the students' record. It's purely for the purpose of observing the success of the NSEP program. The Congress wants to see some language practice. Students have to write occasional reports during the course of their stay.
Do they get full credit for
this? If they, assuming they go on a program that is credited, they can take their NSEP money on a U of M sponsored program or a non U of M sponsored program.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
There's really so little money to support study abroad. This was a welcome addition to the choices that students have. It's unfortunate that they've had such a controversial growth in infancy. But it's now into its fifth year, and it seems to have stabilized.
Okay, well, other non-immigration, international side of things. We still have our North Campus office, of course. What's probably going to happen with that is during the summer, it's probably going to go to half-time, and we'll just be open from 8 to 12, and our assistant director, Kate Clifford, will be up there. And then the second advisor, Samira Pardinani, will be down on Central Campus, in part helping with our Overseas Opportunities Office, because all the students that are still around and that aren't haunting Jordan's hallways are over in the International Center finding out more information about, well, this is the big travel season, of course, traveling overseas, or thinking ahead to work a possible future study. So that office tends to be quite busy. And
so she'll be paid to work down there?
She'll get a regular salary instead of, she just will not, we're just shifting her location. So, he looks increasingly stressed every time I go by there because he's really just got students stacked up too. So she'll be spending her, at least her afternoons doing that, and then her mornings probably doing some work with international students, but on Central Campus, because we'll have some people going away on vacation and et cetera, so we're trying to kind of even the staffing up a little bit. But North Campus will stay open all summer, just on a half-time basis and instead of a full-time basis. I'm in the process of finalizing the renewal for the International Student Health Insurance. Now, I haven't, it's actually purchasing that signs on the dotted line. And we're almost at the signing on the dotted line point. Nothing is definite until we actually finalize that, but at this point, it's clear that that the cost of the insurance will not go up. It'll stay at the $30 a month for the single students. And we've had pretty good experience with the insurance plan, which means that the students have not had catastrophic illnesses, thank goodness. We are able to actually add to the benefits a little bit, and again, not final, but some of the things that I think we're going to do up until now, that insurance hasn't had any provision for preventive care, and that's not so much of an issue for the students, because enrolled students, of course, can get all of that at health service, but for families, it's more of an issue. We're going to be able to add a little bit for children and be able to cover well child care and standard childhood immunizations for children up to age 3. And then if we can, which is actually going to be, because of course children at that age have to have quite a few checkups, and so that's actually going to be, I think, a help to the international student families. And then if that works out all right and we still, have pretty good experience with the plan, then we'll slowly try and add a few more things. The other things we're trying to improve are the outpatient mental health coverage. And since counseling, again, for people like visiting scholars or non-enrolled students, they sometimes use that coverage. And, of course, counseling and psychological services is very committed to making sure that students don't have to wait a long period of time in order to be seen. But that means that they're also doing more, brief work with students. So if student needs to be in counseling for a longer period of time, they sometimes need to be referred out, and then again, the mental health coverage is helpful. And then there are a couple of other things we may be able to do as well, just to reduce the amount that the student potentially would have to pay in a serious illness. And the coverage for the medical evacuation and repatriation is also going to go up. Unfortunately, we had to use that coverage several times last year, and unfortunately, no student went above the cap on that. But it could happen. So we're kind of slowly improving it, which is good. I should have the final word on that, probably by the end of this week or early next week, and then I'll let you know. And as usual, we will, as soon as we get the text of the brochure for next year, we'll put it up on our website as well so that people can access it from our website. Orientation, we're still working with the Office of New Student Programs to get a final schedule for the International Undergraduate Orientation. I don't know, that always seems to take a lot longer than I think it will. But we're still trying to get all the pieces in place. I mean, the days that are going to, it's going to be held are still the same. They're going to move in on that Wednesday, the 26th, I believe, and it's going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday from there. But just as far as within those days, exactly what's going to happen when. Now, the AEE is still fixed, too, but the other things we're not shuffling you around, but the other things we're trying to move around a little bit. Our three-week orientation, which is primarily for graduate students and visiting scholars, although early arriving undergraduate students sometimes attend as well, we do have a final schedule for that. I was hoping to bring you copies of that, but our Xerox machine was kind of in pieces on the floor with a Xerox repairman crouching over it, so I couldn't run those copies. It is up on our website now, though, so you can look at it on the web, and I will have copies available for anybody, particularly wants one before the next meeting. I'll just give me a call, and I'll do that. I also, at our last meeting, or the meeting before, I did pass out the... Our statistical information finally came out, and I don't know if people who weren't at that meeting didn't get one again, let me know, and I'll give that to you. So, just trying to think. One other thing. Our insurance advisor, the person who helps people sign up for insurance.
What's her name?
Reiko Hoda. But she's... Don't run me down too fast. She'll be leaving at the end of June. So I am the other thing that I'm hoping to do eventually is to convert that job. Right now it's a university temporary position.
Nice.
And convert that job into a permanent job so that the person will actually get benefits. And I may be able to do that right now. That's still kind of in the works. But anyway, she'll be leaving at the end of June, so I will be looking for somebody else.
So for our summer program, who can I refer to for the health insurance?
Well, you should still refer
to Reiko.
Well, no, I mean, for the people that would be coming, your summer program will be coming at the end of June?
June 30th.
Okay.
It's our first day, and that's usually the time that we want them to sign up for the health insurance. Mm-hmm. So that will still be Reiko?
No, Reiko will be will be on her way out by then. But, you should just... what we usually do is we usually have somebody come to the first meeting of that class and have them sign up there. Yeah, that's what we've done for the past... two or three years. And if nobody, I mean, I certainly hope someone will be in place. If they're not, I'll come myself.
Right.
So somebody will.
Okay.
Somebody will come.
I have, just for a point of clarification, this health insurance program does not include office visits, does it?
Oh, sure.
It includes office visits?
Yeah. The way that it works is there are three gatekeepers. University Health Service, Family Health Services up on North Campus, and for children, the pediatric part of East Ann Arbor Health Center.
Right.
And if students visit one of those three places.
Uh-huh.
For health service, there's no deductible. For the other two places, there's just a $10 deductible, and that's per cause.
So it covers
that. Now, if they're referred to someplace else and they've gone to one of the gatekeepers first, then again, no deductible if they're referred from health service. $10 if
so
they're referred to the other
M-care,
places.
So is this M-care, can I ask? Is this M-care, this health insurance?
No.
So I just wanted to clarify.
Okay.
So if they have this health insurance, then I would say there's no need for the health service, a separate.
Well, you're going to, what you're going to do is you're going to...
Because this insurance will allow them to go to the health service, right?
It will allow them to go to the health service.
Okay.
You'll lose... the two things that might be different
uh-huh.
is you'll lose any kind of preventive care. I mean, except for the child care. Well, actually, that won't even start until September if we do
right.
it. You'll lose any kind of preventive care, and this insurance does have a limitation on pre-existing conditions. So if somebody, there's a waiting period for that. So if somebody comes, and again, this is something that we're going to probably be able to change a little bit starting in September, but for this year, if somebody comes with some kind of condition that they've had before, sometime within the past 12 months, there's going to be a 12-month waiting period before that condition is covered. So there are some caps. I mean, for the most complete coverage, for the students, we kind
right.
of assume that they're going to have the
health service.
And
okay.
then this insurance is going to be, mainly if it's something the health service cannot deal with.
Okay. So hospitalization.
Hospitalization,
okay.
The need for a referral out for more specialized tests.
Because I was just thinking,
if
it has the same coverage as the health service, then I would discontinue the health service
yeah.
fee that
well,
I charge.
Well, I think if
students.
You're really going to, I think it would be better for the students if you
okay.
had still continued to have
right.
both. That's going to give them the most complete coverage.
Good.
Now, if we had, it would be great to have something with as many benefits as MCARE, GradCARE, but the cost would be prohibitive for the
mm-hmm.
students.
Okay, gotcha.
So.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else?
I wanted to ask Jordan, when will your students be accepted?
I talked to Cindy Gold about this just last week.
Oh.
And she thinks possibly by the end of this week.
Oh, wow.
They've been so backed up over there because they're all going through N Pathways training. And they, of course, had staffing turnover and then rehiring problems. So she says most of last week there was only one full-time professional admissions counselor on mm-hmm. duty.
Oh, you mean they've all left?
No. Well, some have left, but they were in training. And Cindy's initial, by the way, review of M Pathways is that it's not so good.
Yeah.
We've
started
share
already.
The detail.
LSNA already has started, mm-hmm. you know, the pathways. Like, we have had already the space module, but then, you know, we will be gradually. So we will also be on training for the accounts this July.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have so many modules
to
study. For people in administration now. We have more
mm-hmm.
more modules to.
Cindy's initial complaint was that she had to flip back and forth between a lot of different screens.
Yeah. Right. It's not going to be as good as they think it will be.
So we'll have that.
Oh,
so
they should be going out probably at least applications for housing. From these people should probably go out by the end of
April.
Earlier, yeah. Cindy did promise me it would be before NAFSA, before the end of the last week. And it's good news to hear that they can fax their leases back because that'll cut a few
and
days
their
off
apps.
Of the, and their apps.
Yeah,
that's great.
Mm-hmm. Louise, are you recommending the participants that come for the International Graduate Student Instructor Workshop? Get this
at the end of the last week. And it's good news to hear that they can fax their leases back because that'll cut a few
and
days
their
off
apps.
Of the, and their apps.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Louise, are you recommending the participants that come for the International Graduate Student Instructor Workshop get this health insurance for
yeah.
that time
month
period,
August, yeah.
for month of August?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have my
well,
students go.
We they really should. I mean, they're here. They've entered on our student visa, and they're here in this country.
Right.
You know, as students.
Right.
So.
When do you expect to have your new brochures printed out?
Oh, sometime in the midsummer. But for the people, the insurance contract year runs from September 1 through August 31. So your IGSIs will actually be falling under the current contract. So you can have a bunch of brochures now if you want.
Right.
So even though it runs for that length of time, you have split payments and premium, right?
Well, from the student's point of view, it just runs continuously. What we do is we bill the students for every term or part of a term. Every term they're going to get a
so
bill.
So it's 120 a term.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some of the exchanges have gotten these $30 charges, which we can't explain.
Probably. Well, they may have gotten them if they've if they're in the country into May. They would have had to pay for May as well, if we went through the dollar charge, or if they started in August. So it's $30 for the number of calendar, $30 a month for the number of calendar months that you're in the country.
Okay. So if you started in August.
Right. You'd have $30 for August, then $120. And if it's falling, if part of it fell into the spring-summer term, then they might have been billed that for a summer term, $30 for a summer term bill, then $120 for the fall term, $120 for the winter.
$30 would cover the entire summer?
No,
just that one month.
Yeah. Just from the billing perspective, what we do is the person that sends over those bills just does the billing once a term. I mean, they actually are constantly sending things over because there are always corrections. But what they're doing is they're looking at when the... Because there are always students saying, no, I'm not really staying that long, I'm staying longer, blah, blah, blah. But what they're doing is they're looking at how long the student is enrolled within that particular term. And if they're just enrolled for 1 month within a particular term, then for that term's billing, they'll just be that 1 month. Yeah,
we did run into a problem with our Hong Kong program.
Mm-hmm.
And they're here for 4 months,
right.
But the bill came after.
Yeah, that
so
shouldn't. That happened.
So we have to cover their costs.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen again. That happened because financial operations switched the person that was dealing with our health insurance charges,
mm-hmm.
and what that person did. What happens with some of these scholars? And again, I don't think that's going to happen again because we've changed the way we do the ID numbers. But what happened was he couldn't. Those didn't really spit out automatically out of the system, which the scholars never have for the past 4 years that we've had the insurance. And he kind of didn't know what to do with those charges, so he just piled them in a corner of his office. So when we finally... when we finally were reconciling our computer records with their accounts... We realized that this had fallen through. So, you know, I'm sorry about that, but it shouldn't. It should not happen again. Now every week what we're doing is we're having that person confirm by email that he's loaded a charge in the dollar amount of the charge into the system, and we check that off. And if we don't get that email, then we say, excuse me, is there anything in the corner?
I think this might have triggered, this program might have triggered that, what you're doing right now, because...
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And yeah, I think yours were probably a bunch of them. Yeah. Well, all of I'm knocking on wood right now, but I think we have. No, I always said I saw nowhere in my job description that a knowledge of Excel was going to be needed or necessary.
How long ago was that job description written?
Actually, I think when I was originally hired, they were thinking more of setting up for programs, because one line is be able to lift 50 pounds.
Really?
I'll show it to you.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
What is that? I mean, how long ago was it?
That was in 91.
Yeah. Be able to lift. So did they really test?
So don't give me any excuses about not being able to set up the folding tables on wrestling. Right.
So you definitely will be changing that, right?
I've noticed that a number of you have mentioned a lot of office staff turnover, mm-hmm. and we're experiencing the same thing. And I know at Rackham right now, there's like a massive turnover. Does anybody have anything to share about how to replace our valuable staff with finding new people? Because there are very few applicants for the jobs we have. This is support staff. We have like 3 full-time jobs available, and we had something like, what was it? We received 5 applicants. It's just a very poor response.
Well, Ann Arbor has a very low unemployment rate.
I know. This is all through the United States, actually, and Michigan, that there's this low unemployment. No, we just went through the staff personnel office.
Oh, we advertise through the, you mean through the web, and well, it is on in the web now. It's in the web, Our postings are on the web. Excuse me?
But these were support staff.
It's in the web. Through personnel. No, but ours are, we're talking more here of secretarial support.
Academic services secretary, 3 or something.
Yeah.
And the salaries are so bad.
Yeah, well, that's
it's
that's
difficult
the
to retain people.
I was talking to somebody, a nurse, who says now they've got a lot of nursing jobs open at the hospital.
Oh,
they can't attract applicants
because
in that case there's no job
security. Well, last year they had there were no jobs, and then now there are many jobs.
No, I don't. We fairly recently hired a new receptionist and a person. In October, I got the person who's doing the insurance billing and finding all of these little problems. But in both cases, I think we just lucked out. I can't really suggest any particular strategy, too. I mean, our new receptionist had just moved to town, and we kind of snapped him up before we realized that there were better paying things. So he's just doing an excellent job, and isn't Joe nice?
Yeah, he's the guy that answers the phone.
He's so helpful to the students, and he really tries to make sure that somebody gets the information they need, which is something we need.
Yeah, I like the service.
Because our other two previous ones were terrible. Well, that's actually. I'm not sure I can.
Well, Anne, I don't know if I gave you the correct number.
Gemma's passing note to.
Right.
Is that the number I
gave? You gave me 6.
Yes.
I think it's 665
2. No, it's not online. It's a computer delivered test, and it's also a computer adaptive test, which means
you know
what test you get depends on their responses to previous questions. But it's not online. TOEFL has contracted with Sylvan Language Centers, or Sylvan Learning Centers, whatever it is, Sylvan anyway, and they're setting up test sites with half a dozen computers where people will register for the test and then go take it. And they've done this with the GRE also. The GRE is also computerized.
So you wouldn't download it.
Can you do the Oxford?
No, you cannot do that. No, you cannot do that. Yeah.
You're supposed to be at a site.
You have to go to a site. It is quite expensive. It's like $125. I think it used to be $40 or $50 for the paper and pencil test.
It's a quantity, whatever.
It is. Yeah, they've just about doubled their price.
Are they doing this in parallel with
there
the
is another,
older way of doing it?
I don't know.
They are for time. They are keeping the paper and pencil test in the Far East primarily. It's Bangladesh, Japan, Taiwan, Korea. Actually, most of their tests are given there, the largest number. And the reason they're doing that, they said, is because they need to prepare more forms of this item bank. They need to enlarge their item bank for this particular adaptive test because the sheer volume of people taking their tests there mean that they couldn't really guarantee.
For example,
there might be some exchange of test data. People might
have the money
become wise to all the item bank in a relatively short period of time.
Do you have any literature on this? Because
we
do physically have students in Japan and have to meet
there will be a session at NASA called No More Pencils. And I imagine you could, go by and pick up the handouts if there's nothing else.
Yeah, if you want to stop by my office, I can give you the TOEFL. I'd have to look it up. Or I can
email you.
Email
it to me.
Okay, and it's
J-I-P-O-L.
J-I-P-O-L. Okay, at English. Okay.
Score reports are probably available much more quickly as a result of the computerized testing, which is probably one of the reasons.
Yeah, so they can get the GRE, they give you results immediately.
In the GRE, you don't get your percentage, but you get your raw score. I'm sure that the total will be much
better. Some of those computer tests will stop after a lot of the years.
It's the item bank. They have, they supposedly know the item difficulty of each problem in the test. And so they start you out, say, at the middle level, and if you answer those mid-level questions correctly, then they give you a more difficult question. If you answer them incorrectly, they give you an easier question, and then they gradually go, to whatever your level is, narrowing and narrowing and narrowing it down until they sort of pinpoint you. And there is a time limit to it, and I guess in the bottom of the screen you can see how much time you have left.
Don't make the same sense as if you.
They're not going to be reporting. I don't remember correct. They are actually on this information that they have. There's some sort of concordancing information. They're changing their score, their scale too. It's from like 0 to 300 instead of whatever it was. The theoretical 200 to 800 that it was. Mm-hmm. No one ever scored 200, no one ever scored 800.
Right.
Theoretically.
But those were the boundaries anyway.
Yeah.
We're back on the personnel issue. If anyone knows someone who would like to be an insurance advisor, it would be part-time. It would be part-time. The people that we've had... In the past, we've sometimes had spouses of students. We've had graduate students
You could have a student,
and that would be fine. We've had graduate students at the dissertation stage who want something, that they can just do for some support, and it's basically half time. We during during the very busy times, which would be practically the entire month of August and early September, we add hours to that position. But that could, we've done it both ways. We've for the person who's had some flexibility and just wanted to get extra money, we've had that person add time, or we've hired a supplementary person who, then we kind of divide things up, and the supplementary person simply helps the students fill out the forms and doesn't deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And the things you don't really, I mean, it would be great if somebody had some kind of prior knowledge of health insurance, but it's not required. What I want is
there
somebody...
There would be a training period. Right?
Yeah, well, no, I would... and, you know, I'm there as a resource,
yeah,
too, and certainly there would be a training period. I want somebody who does pay good attention to... I'm stuttering here. To detail,
yeah,
but... and is also kind of responsible enough to realize you have to be a little bit careful what you say to students, particularly when you're talking about coverage. If you're not sure of something, obviously you don't want to tell somebody that, oh yeah, that'll be covered, no problem. And that somebody who's just good at communicating with people from other countries and is willing to, you know, take the time to explain a little bit about how to use the insurance.
So we'll just forward them to you should we know of someone.
Yeah, that would be great. But for the support staff issue, I have no suggestions. I guess prayer was mine. So,
the next meeting
is Dearborn, I think.
Dearborn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll send out the announcements, or at least so.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome
for coming.
Oh, you made a good dinner.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah,
change.
It's
starting to feel like summer.
It is
starting
to feel like summer.
It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we do have to fill a little more time.
You might want to.
Yeah, I'm
bringing
for
Oh, okay.
To get one from him. We could guess on some of the stuff, but.
Yeah, I need to get some of the stuff to her. You can tell her that she's definitely in my life, and I don't know what the package to her. I'd like to hear from them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's
anything,
yeah.
To
yeah. Okay.
I think Ellen is.
I'm sure she is. Is Peggy still there?
Peggy just came back.
Oh, she's
with us. No, she was working down in another position temporarily.
Yeah.
And then in the meantime. Yeah. But George is so.
Okay. Did you need this?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Did you get the bell?